Sorry, so we're still in 2 Corinthians. I actually just started, right? So we're in 2 Corinthians, and a little background is that Paul planted the church in Corinth about 3 to 4 years prior to the letters. Now, during that time, there's been many leaders. You know, Paul wasn't there that whole time. But there's been many leaders that have been watering the church, helping it grow, and seeing that it does grow. So within 3 to 4 years, you would think that it's kind of on its way to being well established in the community, right? 3 to 4 years doing the same thing, right? It's growing, getting new members, having old members. Yes, no? Wow. Not really a question, a little feedback. Yeah, or like shake your head. Yeah. Or if you don't agree. No, they're just babies. Kind of babies compared to long term. Now, during this time, they've had some growing pains. You know, they did some things right, but they did some things wrong also, which Paul addressed the wrong things, right? Way you should. And his hope was to correct them. That's what we see in 1 Corinthians. But at the same time as him correcting them, there was this movement that people started questioning Paul's intentions. Paul was used to non-believers coming against him. You know, he's seen it throughout his ministry. He's in Asia when he's writing this. That is Ephesus. But it's modern Asia. And he saw that all the time. You know, every town he went to, probably every day, there's probably a non-believer coming against him. But now this is coming from believers. The ones he cares about, the one he wants to help, the ones he loves. Now, Paul's critics, it seems like they're probably that sort what has a hard time trusting people. Or maybe there was a good reason why they don't trust people, because people have been failing them over and over again, and people have their own intentions, you know, what they want out of it, but not necessarily what's good for the community. Now, they accuse Paul of being insincere, you know, saying one thing and then doing something completely different, using worldly wisdom and selfish intentions. Now, we'll see that Paul told him that he was coming to see them. But he didn't make it. The thing is, at this point, he didn't make it when he said he was going to make it. So the Corinthians used that to persecute him. It's like, well, you said this and you didn't do it. So Paul has that choice. You know, he's getting to that point where he has that choice to either fight or flight. Now, he could cut ties with the Corinthians, say, heck of you guys. I'm over here. These guys are loving me. You could just go about your business. Or he could fight fire with fire. You know, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to take you with me. Or the third choice is that he could defend himself without getting nasty. 1 Peter chapter 3, 15 and 16. Lana?
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed.
So what is that saying to you guys? Anyone?
Be
prepared for what? Anything? Huh?
Questions.
For questions? All right, and how are you to answer those questions? Jesse, do you know? How are you? Huh?
Yeah, you're gonna have to look up on Google or something.
Yeah. Well, so what does it say? What does it tell us? Meekness and fear. And the fear, when they use fear in the Bible, it's not always just like, oh, I'm so scared. You know, it's kind of a reverence fear. You know, as far as you don't want to do wrong. And meekness, it doesn't mean you're all weak. You know, it means that you're treading lightly or you're just trying to be gentle about it. So you're doing it a nice way. You know, is I believe God because I don't want to end up like you. You know, you don't tell people like that, right? It's not. You know, you proving your accusers wrong by just doing right. You know, you don't have to actually throw everything at them, but you prove them because you're doing the right thing. And you prove them, if you're always doing the right thing, you will end up proving them wrong. And they're like, I can't accuse them of everything because they're doing everything right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Cassia? All right, so I don't know about you guys, but it seemed like I always was told that boasting is a bad thing, right? Anybody else hear that? Right? So what is boasting? Aiden.
Hi, Aiden.
Hey, Aiden. Oh.
Hey.
Hey, Aiden.
How are you?
So what is boasting? Aiden, boasting, I never knew boasting was washing clothes. Sorry.
She said posting.
Oh, posting. Like stamps? I don't know. So, does anybody know what boasting is? What terminology? Yes. Exactly, that's a good example. So boasting is puffing oneself up in speech. But so let's look at what Paul is actually, when he says our boasting is. You know, he's not puffing himself up. If we actually look at it, he's not puffing himself up. He's puffing up the grace of God. You know, Paul says, even admits, he's living in the world. You know, we're all living in the world. It's a broken world, but we're living in this world. But as God is his witness, he doesn't walk in that mindset. He focuses on God. You know, the only way he could accomplish anything at all, is through God. So that's his boasting. He's boasting the grace of God. And plus, he also says that, you know, about them, everything he told them, and that's speaking of the Corinthians or the Corinth church, is that everything I told you is for your good. I do not mean it for evil. You know, he's kind of justifying. I don't know if justifying. He's kind of defending what he did. Or what he's doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Jesse?
For we are not writing any other things to
Okay, so Paul here, he's telling him that I don't have any hidden agendas. You know, it's not just a way for me to make ends meet. You know, I'm not adding anything to the Word of God. I'm not taking anything away from the Word of God. Paul throws himself on the mercy of the court. Anybody's ever heard that terminology? If you just leave it up to the person who's judging, and the people who are judging right now are the Corinthians, Paul presents his case the best that he can. Then it's up to the Corinthians. You know, it's kind of like how God shows us love, but he doesn't force love upon us. Because love is not forced. You know, he gave us all free will. He wants us to love him. Yeah, absolutely, that's what he wants most of all. He wants us to love him, but he won't force upon us because, like I said, then it wouldn't be love. Verses 15 and 16. Aiden, can you read that?
And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before that you might have a second benefit to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you and be helped by you on my way to Judea.
Nice. All right, so, and like I said at the very beginning, at the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the Corinth church, you know what? Hey, I'm going to come see you. I'm going to come see you. I want to see you. Now, the Corinthians took that as a promise. When Paul did not come, they took that as a broken promise. You know, and that breaks people's trust. I mean, has anybody ever, somebody told you something and they didn't fall through? It kind of hurt. Felt like they broke a promise to you. And I think we've all been there. James 5, verse 12. Bub?
But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment.
So basically you're, you know, do what you say. Y'all, I know the whole story. So I know what happened, you know, we can from reading the Bible, but the Corinthian church did not know. You know, and I've been there in a work situation where I wasn't able to do exactly what I said I was going to do. In those cases, we tend to need to look at it through the other person's eyes. You know, letting people know what happened is huge. Especially in work positions. I can't tell you how many times people, they used to say, oh, well, that's the mountain mentality. They just don't show up. Or this or that, and they don't let anybody know. Oh, I'll be there. The old joke about the cable guy is, like, I'll be there between 7 and 5. And then don't show up that day and don't call and let them. People so much appreciate if you just, hey, I can't make it. You know, can I come an hour later or can I come tomorrow? I can't tell you how much they appreciate it. People want to know. Communication is very healthy. We need to have communication with other people. Being silent, in the cases where you're being silent, everybody involved is unsure of what's happening. You're unsure if you could actually go to that job because they might be mad at you, or the people, they're not sure if you're actually going to show up and do the job. You know, if you are unsure, you have no trust. Because when you trust, you're sure of something. Verses 17 through 19. Lana?
For Christ did not send me to baptize, made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved.
All right. That's, I thought it was kind of weird. That's 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
All of it is, because that's what you have on here.
Oh, do I? Oh, I'm sorry. The last four times I wrote wrong on my study.
Okay.
It was a good verse.
It was.
But imagine it, just take a second. There you go. So Paul's intentions to go to Corinth, you know, he wasn't saying it to tickle the person's ears, the audience's ears. That means he wasn't just saying it to, oh, maybe they'll like to hear this point. No, he truly meant to go. His yes was yes at that time. Things came up, and that's what happens. Sometimes things come up. You know, but your intentions should always be the yes. Not in the back of your head, it's like, it might be no. Or it is no, but I'm going to tell him this just to make him happy. You know, your yes needs to be yes, and your no needs to be no. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 20 through 22. Cassia? So with most products, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, a long time ago, but we used to take apart things, right? And when you take apart things, you void the guarantee, right? Hopefully you can fix it or put it back together. My biggest problem is always these extra screws, and you're just like, oh, I don't know. So then I end up just throwing it away. But you ruin the guarantee. You void it. Now, God has sealed us. He sealed us with a guarantee. It's not a lifetime guarantee. It's 100% forever guarantee. You know, he always means what he says, and he doesn't say anything he doesn't mean. In Joshua 23:14, Jesse?
Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one word of them has failed.
So throughout Scripture, something we never need to worry about is Jesus not breaking a promise. No, we need to worry about man, but he has and never will break a promise. His promises are there forever. Verses 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 23 and 24. Aiden? Back row, Aiden.
Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul, that to spare you I come no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand.
All right, so we see throughout Paul's walk with the Lord, he always goes to the Lord and figures out his next path. Right? He's always going, hey, should I go here? Should I turn right? Should I turn left? I think God gave Paul insight. He always did give Paul insight as far as which way to go, but he gave him insight on whether or not to go back to Corinth. And it seems that he gave him insight is that, well, if you do go back to Corinth, that there would be some that put too much importance on you, Paul. Paul did not have dominion over the faith, meaning that he wasn't in charge. You know, he wasn't in control of it. He had nothing to do with that, because Paul and the Corinthians were fellow workers in the joy of Jesus, right? You know, Paul was just a man. He wasn't above them. He was just a man. You know, neither Paul or God wanted confusion in this matter. You know, we can't elevate a man. You know, we're not going through Paul to get to God. You know, we could go straight to God. And that's what we need to do. In James 1, chapter 12, or sorry, chapter 1, verse 12. Huh? Aiden, our bub, sorry.
Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
So there will be trials and tribulations. There will be corrections. There will be people who let us down. However, we cannot let that change our course. We need to be steadfast. Figuring how not to be so upset that we could communicate with other people. Not being men pleasers, yet walking in love. Doing the right thing in the eyes of the Lord. Doing all the things to glorify God. You know, the rest will come out in the wash. I mean, everything else is going to happen, but we need to just do what's right with God. Cassia, can you close this prayer?